Mr. McGee?
Thank you, sir.
Could you please state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Philip McGee, 114236.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the three allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on February 20th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that, sir?
Yes.
Okay. On that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire an attorney to represent you at your expense. Did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself in this hearing? Okay, thank you. And I'd like to introduce you to the board conducting the hearing. If you look to your right, so all the way down there, sitting by himself at the end, is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over here on my other side is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Grady, who you'll see on the camera in a moment. There he is. He is a parole officer with Department of Corrections. He'll represent the department and your parole officer in this hearing. Actually, we have your parole officer present, so he will also be speaking for himself. And we also have some visitors, some supporters for you, sir. We have Ms. Colum?
Colum.
Ms. Spencer?
Yes.
Okay. So, are you all each planning to speak today?
Yes.
Okay. So I need to swear everyone in then, and that would include Mr. McGee, Mr. Pogue, Ms. Cullen, Ms. Spencer, and Mr. Grady. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. McGee?
Yes.
Mr. Pogue?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Ms. Cullen, Ms. Spencer, and Mr. Grady?
I would.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. McGee, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. McGee, I'll read each of these allegations from your warrant, and I'll need you to respond whether they're true or false. If you think it's, if you state that it's false, then I will take testimony from Mr. Grady or your parole officer, Mr. Pogue. And then the board will make the determination as to whether you were in violation, sir. Okay, so do you understand the process?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The first allegation, then, we'll start phase one. The first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7. As demonstrated by your submission of a urine specimen that was unsuitable for drug and alcohol testing on or about February 4th, 2019, for the task lab report dated February 5th, 2019. Mr. McGee, is that true or false?
True.
That's true? Okay. The second allegation is that you were in violation of condition 12M, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about February 4th, 2019. Mr. McGee, is this true or false?
True.
Okay. And allegation number 3 is that you were in violation of condition 12C, as demonstrated by your being in possession of a knife or knife-type instrument on or about February 5th, 2019. Mr. McGee, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. McGee's admission, then, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Dr. Wright, Mr. Quinones. And hold on one moment, Mr. McGee. I've got, there's always paperwork. You know, every job's got its paperwork, and we certainly have it. Okay, I think I have that marked correctly. All right. Well, Mr. McGee, we'll move on to phase two of your hearing and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Grady to give us background information so we have a little bit of something to go on here. So, Mr. Grady, if you would do that, we'll be back to talk with you in just a moment, Mr. McGee.
Mr. McGee was released from DOC on November 8th of 2018. He was arrested on February 5th of 2019 by parole staff. He has no new charges, he's returned back to DOC on February 5th of 2019. He has a CSED of August 11th of 2021. They reflect zero absconding days. Current convictions, 2005 manslaughter, 7 years, 6 months. 2005 murder of a second degree, 21 years. Prior convictions, 1995 criminal trespass, first degree, 1 year, 6 months. 1999 narcotic drug violation, 3 years, 6 months. 1999 narcotic drug violation, 5 years. 1999 narcotic drug violation, 5 years. His 3 terms in DOC, his CUR scores of 2-3, mental health scores of 1, substance abuse scores of 2. Gang information, 2006, he self-admitted to being a member of the Vista Kings in Phoenix. Prior term for supervision, 1995, transitional release, completed 7 months. 2003, TLS release, absconded for 68 days, arrested and then revoked by the DOC. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Other arrests, 1990, simple assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1999, possession of sell dangerous drugs, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He has a community risk score of a G5, V5.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Okay, Mr. McGee, we have a brief written summary of what occurred while you were on supervision, sir, and I'll just go over that with you. It looks like you were proved to live with your mother, who's here today. And did you stay there the whole time you were out, sir?
Yes.
Okay. And you were working, doing some home remodeling? Is that?
Yes.
And did you do that the whole time you were out, sir?
Yes.
Okay. And you were assigned a task. You had 3 urines submitted, which were negative. But there was the one on, looks like February 4th, that was diluted or unsuitable for testing, sir. So what happened? Why was there a diluted or unsuitable for testing sample?
Well, on that day, I guess I drank too much water.
Okay, so you...
Because I was working and my medication had me hydrated.
Okay. So the woman also indicates, though, that on you admitted that you had drank a 24-ounce Budweiser.
Yes.
So is it possible that you knew your test was going to be positive?
That ain't why I drank water. I told him I drank beer, but I wasn't trying to cover that up.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this point. Anyone have a question? Mr. Johnson has a question for you, sir.
Sir, I only have the one question looking through your the information that we have here on your arm. Why would you take a box cutter into the parole office?
I forgot it was in my pocket and they called me when I was on my way to work and I used the box cutter because I had to tape off all the walls and I had to cut the plastic before I paint the ceiling.
So you were on your way to work when you had the box cutter?
Yeah, they called me in when I was on my way to work.
And so you just carry the box cutter when you go to and from work? That is a concern that I have, that you have that box cutter in your possession at the time that you went.
I had it in my pocket and I forgot about it. Like I said, I had to tape off all the walls and carpet and stuff before I painted the ceiling. And I used the box cutter to cut all the plastic and stuff. If I would have known it was in my pocket, I would have took it out, but I forgot.
So tell me how you had that beer, sir.
Well, one of my friends came over and he knew my birthday was coming up and he asked me to have a drink with him. And I relapsed and I had a drink with him when I should have said no.
Okay. Okay, so what's the, I mean, I know when you came before this board, we, you know, admonished you about not having any alcohol. So what's your opinion on it now, sir?
I don't want to touch no alcohol no more. I'm done with it. I made a mistake and I'm sorry for it.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And Mr. McGee, about the knife, if you had been using that knife regularly, would you not have just gotten permission from your parole officer? Did you talk to Mr. Ford about using that knife?
I ain't talked to him, but he always came to the job site and see all the tools I could use.
Okay, yeah, probably would have.
It was a box cutter. It was a box cutter, so I thought it wouldn't be no problem. All I was doing was cutting plastic with it.
Right.
And she brought it.
All right. Mr. Canonis has a question for you as well.
Just a quick follow-up. Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. McGee?
Yes.
I don't mean to bang this drum, but didn't you consider that the use of any alcohol was really going to run a big risk on your freedom outside of the prison system? And before you answer that, I'm not terribly judgmental. I recognize that beer is kind of an everyday commodity out there for people that are not on parole, but it just seems that you didn't recognize what an incredible risk that was to use alcohol and run the risk of being violated. What were you thinking?
Oh, I don't know. I was doing so good without drinking. And he just asked me to have a beer with him. I shouldn't have drank it. I made a mistake and I drank that beer with him. And I knew I shouldn't have drank it.
Well, thank you, Mr. McGee. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. McGee.
Thank you, sure. Mr. Johnson has another question.
So I just had a question just based on a response that you gave, Ms. Rittenhouse. So you said that your PO came to your job and he saw all the tools that you had to use. Is that right?
He comes to my job site to see me.
Okay, so how did you have a set of tools that you had to use?
Well, we had all different kinds of, we use skill saws, we use all kinds of box cutters, we use stuff to cut sheetrock with, we use all kinds of tools.
Okay, so why, you don't take those tools back and forth to work with you, right? Or do you?
Yeah, sometimes we do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Dr. Wright has a question.
Can I just follow up on what has already been discussed? I don't think there's anything else to go with, but it's already been discussed. Now, sir, back to that beer. When your friends came and said, well, now, would you have a drink with me? Would you use a pail of beer, whatever beer comes in? Your mind didn't go back to Mr. Johnson, and the reason I use him as an example, it could have been any of us, but he does it all the time, and he's far more effective with it than I am. And he makes it very clear that you cannot violate at all, that you can't have a drink at all. Do you mind him go back to Mr. Johnson before you took that beer, sir?
Well,
or what Mr. Johnson had said to you when you were before this board before, is what I'm asking.
I shouldn't have drank it.
But I made a mistake and drank
it. And I'm sorry about that. It was just that one mistake I made. I'm sorry.
You know, don't misinterpret what I'm going to ask now, but you said that's the one mistake that you made. Are you sure that's the only time you made that mistake, sir? So because we were not there and your parole officer was not there, so none of us was there. Was that the only time that you decided you were going to have some beer, sir?
That was the only time. That was the only time I did that.
While you were out, did you have any illegal substances, or, you know, like drugs or anything?
No, I didn't.
Now, back to your toolbox. Now, what all did you have in your toolbox? You said you had that knife, but what other tools did you have on the day that you were called in, sir?
That's the only thing I recall was in my pocket, because they was doing something around at the house, and I seen it on the table, and I picked it up. The only thing, all the rest of the tools stayed on back of my brother's truck.
And that didn't come to your mind? I'm just trying to put myself thinking like you should have been thinking too. It didn't come to mind, hey, I got something in my pocket, maybe I better take that out. Nothing like that came to your mind, sir, as it relates to that knife?
No, it didn't come to my mind. I was trying to get down there to see my parole officer so I can go back to work. And I forgot it was in my pocket.
So if you were sitting here where I'm sitting today and someone came up and said something like that, and you have to make a judgment, how would you respond? I mean, what would you say? I knew better, but I didn't, and I knew I shouldn't have had that beer. You know, initially, and I'll be quiet after this because I know time management is very important, Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse. Now, initially, what I heard you say, maybe I did not hear it correct, when Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse initially asked that question, your answer was, it was the water. The beer did not come up. Why didn't you mention the beer up front, sir?
I don't know. He asked me, did I drink? I was in the Super Bowl. He asked me, did I drink on Super Bowl? I told him, no, I didn't drink on Super Bowl. I didn't drink. But I told him I did drink, but it wasn't on Sunday. It was like Saturday when I drank. That one beer.
My question was why, and maybe I did not hear correct, and you know, I'm old, therefore sometimes I don't hear correct, but what I heard you say, what I think I heard you say when Ms. Rittenhouse asked the initial question, your answer was it was because of the water. And we recognize the fact about the water. I mean, that's one of the first things that I learned when I came on this board, that, you know, the water, we're always told don't drink water, but that's the only thing you mentioned. You did not mention that beer up front, and that concerns me, sir. If I make a mistake, I should say right up front, yes, I made a mistake. It was the beer, and it might have been the water, but you mentioned only that water, sir, and that's kind of disturbing to me just as one board member.
I made a mistake with the beer, but when you brought up the water, I was talking about when they said why I was diluted, it was diluted, I guess, because I was on my medication and working. I guess I drank too much water that day.
In your mind, it had nothing to do with the beer. The beer had nothing to do with the beer.
My mind was on the beer. I shouldn't have drank that beer, and I made a mistake by drinking that beer.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so very much, sir, and I appreciate your answers, and thank you so very much, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Did you have another question?
I was just trying to, in my mind, I was just trying to look up the dates when he had the beer and when he had diluted UA.
Okay. Can I ask just a question of Mr. Grady? I have a conflicting community supervision end date from what you gave. On our sheet, we have November 7th of 25, and you gave us August 11th of 21.
What do you have?
8/11/21.
Okay. So someone has written 25 on here, so that one's out.
10/25, yeah.
So that's no good then. It's the 21st. It's August 11th of 2021. Okay, thank you. Okay, and we did not have respond. All right, Mr. McGee, if there are no more questions from the board, I'm going to go to your supporters and ask them to come up. I'm not sure who wants to come up first. And just come right up to the microphone. Is that little green light on the base of, is it on? Okay, good. Okay, and just start by please stating your name again, Leanne.
Good morning, my name is Patricia Colum. I'm Philip McGee's mother.
Thank you. And what would you like to tell the board?
He's been doing really well since he's been out. I mean, he did pretty much everything that they asked of him, and he did tell the truth about drinking the beer, which anybody else probably would have tried to hide it, and he do drink lots and lots of water because of his medication. I might buy 10, 30 cases of water, which really doesn't last that long because he drinks a lot of water, I drink a lot of water in the house. But he's did everything that he's supposed to do, and he got a job and he worked, and if he's allowed to be out again, he, at this point, he still have his job that he can go back to work to. I have three great-grandchildren in my home, which is his grandchildren. Her mother works at nighttime. Philip worked in the day. I worked midday. I would have their dinner and everything done, and Philip would take over taking care of the kids. When he get off from work to release the babysitter from them, then when I come home, we'd get together and get them dressed and ready for bed and bathe and everything. He was a great help to me. He did a lot of things around the house and everything. And I feel like we all make mistakes. He did make a mistake, which he admitted to. And I just hope that he can get another chance at his parole. Thank you.
Okay, ma'am. Any questions for Ms. Cohen? Thank you so much. Good morning. And if you just please state your name.
Jolena Spencer. I'm Philip McGee's youngest daughter. I lived in Utah. I only met him the day before he went to jail. I just barely met him. I really would hope that he could get out, because I want my kids to know their grandpa. And when I met him, I just got like this good vibe, and like I just want to bond with my dad. Like, I want to be around him.
And do you live here now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you live
here. I moved down here to be with him.
Okay.
Because I grew up without a dad, without him.
Right.
And now that he was out, I wanted to move down here, move my kids down here, and live with him and help him be a good person while I'm pushing myself into schooling and stuff, because he motivates me. And I just want to be around him a lot, because like, I want to get to know him. I want to do family events with him and my kids. But yeah, hopefully he can come out. So,
all right, any questions for
this? Just one question. How old are the kids, his grandkids?
I have a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
And have you had the opportunity of seeing the kids before? And you moved down here, you relocated down here?
It was my first time meeting him ever. And my kids, they talk about, oh, I want to see grandpa, and I'm just like, he's not here right now.
Was he a good grandfather, you think?
Yeah, when I see him with my sister's kids, and they just love him, and I'm just like, I want that bond with my kids to be like that with him. Because my kids don't have a father. But if they have a good man figure in front of them, I'm pretty sure that they'll go the right way. And I know my dad is that good man that's gonna keep my boys in check and help my boys be men. Because I'm a woman, I help my daughters, I show my daughters how to be a woman, be good, mannered. My kids are well mannered and stuff, but I just want my boys to have a bond with the man. I'd rather have them
with their grandpa. And how many of the five
kids are boys? Three. Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming today.
You're welcome.
So, Mr. McGee, now we'll hear from your parole officer, Mr. Pogue.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please just restate your name? Thank you.
Sure. My name is Patrick Pogue, parole officer with the Department of Corrections, assigned to the electronic monitoring unit.
Okay. And would you like to tell the board?
I'd like to tell the board that I am not disputing that Philip McGee, he was an excellent provider for his family. He provided regular pay stubs for me upon request. He was doing exceptional work. That was never in any question. He was allowed to work with tools, any kind of tools, including the box cutter that he was in possession of the day he reported to our office. The main issue, essentially what the box cutter was, he was asked to report in the morning before he went to work. So this is the issue we have. We have a large metallic sign posted right outside of the parole office that says, do not bring any prohibited items, and essentially list the items. Do not bring these items into this office. It's clearly stated just right outside the door. Philip is also on home arrest supervision, which is very strict, as it should be, because he's technically still an inmate. He was given a ride, and Philip probably can clarify this part, but he was given a ride to the parole office in the morning after I had contacted him and told him to report because he had that diluted UA. He had every opportunity to leave that box cutter inside the vehicle. It was certainly a poor choice for him to bring that into the parole office, whether he forgot or not. I'm assuming he probably forgot, but it was certainly very reckless on his part to even bring that into the office. The lobby officer was also admonished for not discovering that on him because we do have a metal detector, but although he does have the GPS monitor on his leg, he won't be able to clear the metal detector because of the GPS monitor, so they're supposed to be hand-wanded down. The morning that Philip came in, the officer was really busy, and he admitted he was busy and didn't properly wand him, and that's how the box cutter wound up getting inside our office. And the line officer did assume full responsibility for that, and that was dealt with. Having the box cutter, and every time I did go see him at work, he was working with power tools, box cutters, stuff that equipment that you can use for remodeling houses and doing construction and demolition work. That was totally appropriate. But he did have every opportunity that day to leave that box cutter inside the vehicle. And he wasn't at work and wasn't asked to come to the office from work. He was on his way to work. But so before he reported to his job site for the day. As far as the diluted UA, I believe it was Super Bowl Sunday, the day after, it was a Monday when Mr. McGee had to do his random UA test and did his UA, which came out diluted, which immediately, the day after the Super Bowl is an indication that there may be something more to this. And so we wanted to bring Philip down to the office to explain why his UA was diluted. He had submitted other UAs with no issue prior to this. And, I found it very unusual that the day after the Super Bowl it did come up diluted, especially with his other UAs, there was no other issue. And then so my supervisor, Dan Peretta, did question him about that, and Philip ultimately did reveal that he had a 24-ounce can of Budweiser. First, he attempted to say that it was non-alcoholic, and then he changed his story and said that. He has as you all know, he has a board condition which says no use of alcohol. And that's why he was taken in custody, because he self-admitted to drinking the alcohol. So they on home arrest, that's just not appropriate because of the decisions they make is probably not the best decisions under the influence of alcohol. So it was decided that he was taken in custody based on the board's request to make sure that there was no use of alcohol.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pope, any other questions for Mr. Pope? Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
So basically, prior to this one, was this his first incident that he had, or with the violation, did he have any other incidents?
With alcohol or other violations?
Other violations.
No, that was it. Every other time, I didn't have issues with his weekly itineraries. They weren't very good, but I certainly worked with him when I'm on my way to work with him to make sure that I could get him to the work sites, because the jobs, of course, the itineraries have to be submitted a week in advance. Sometimes he'd be at a job site for only 3 days, and then he'd have to wait before the supervisor would tell him where the next assignment was.
So I'd have to update his GPS and make sure the itineraries were up. I'd have to do a lot of phone calls to get with him to make sure we knew where the next place was. But as far as any other violations before this, no, there was none.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming today. All right, Mr. McGee, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you've thought of that, without repeating yourself, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the board, sir?
Yes, I was going to all my classes. I didn't miss none of my classes. I was doing everything my parole officer asked me to do. I was checking in with him. I was doing everything I was asked to do. I wasn't trying to violate. I'm sorry for having that beer. It won't happen again. I just want to get out and go back to work to help my mom pay her bills, to take care of my grandkids, and spend time with my daughter I've never seen before, and my grandkids I've never seen before.
Okay, Mr. McGee, thank you. Excuse me. The board is going to go into discussion, sir, and we do a discussion in public under the open meeting law of Arizona. So we haven't discussed this case before right now. So if you, we just ask that you stay on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir? Thank you. The board is now in discussion. This is an interesting case because Mr. McGee was, per his parole officer, he was doing well and helping with working and providing money to help support the family. He has you know, he had other urine tests that were not diluted. But what's concerning me, I guess, a little bit, a couple of things. One of them is that, you know, he and his mother both said that he drinks a lot of water, but none of the other urine specimens had been diluted, just this one. And it's happened to be the one when he drank the beer. So there's the appearance, whether or not it happened, there's the appearance that there was an attempt to hide that. That's all I'm saying about that. And I know Mr. Pogue went and visited the work site, saw the tools, but it's kind of not Mr. Pogue's responsibility to report that. It's the inmate's responsibility when he's got a dangerous tool to report that and get approval from the parole officer. So I just feel there's a little bit of evasiveness almost about, both about the beer and about the tool. So I'd like to open discussion and hear what others think about this. Mr. Johnson?
I kind of, when I first looked at this, when I looked through it and seen what the knife-type weapon was a box cutter. But I think that, you know, he's kind of explained the reason why he has this box cutter in his possession. He said Mr. Poe's been there and saw him several times with the different tools that he has to use there, and that was acceptable. I didn't ask the question direct, but I kind of felt as though the response was, had it not been for the alcohol, he probably wouldn't have been violated, that there is some truth to him, you know, why he would actually be in possession of a box cutter. I definitely believe that there's some dissension or storytelling in Super Bowl Sunday, drinking a beer, getting caught in the next day by his PO, that there's probably some deception. He did eventually tell the truth that he did have a beer on that day, which is a direct violation of what we have asked him, but I just think that since he, you know, was doing well, he was following all the rules, he was taking his UAs, he was going to the class, and I think the PO said that he was doing exceptionally well in the beginning. He didn't say he was just doing well, he said he was doing exceptionally well in the beginning, and that he was surprised on the beer and the second chance that think because of his previous history of what he's had and been doing so well, I would be willing to try to give Mr. McGee another chance.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. I'm torn on this one in as much that I do feel invested in individuals when we grant home arrest, and I also recognize that he has an SED, if that's correct, that's not far off in the future, and it's always good to see an individual have monitored transition back to the community. I'm concerned about something that Mr. Polk said, and I think he found a good word, and that was recklessness. There was a lot at stake for Mr. McGee, and I'm with Mr. Johnson on the box cutter. It's certainly possible that it was an oversight, but it just seems that with so much at stake that he would really be minding his B's and Q's, so to speak. And so I'll go back to what I said in the beginning. I'm not completely close to the idea of another opportunity, but I don't quite feel good about it in the context of Mr. McGee not putting the full effort into adhering to his conditions of release. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Dr. Ray?
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. I think that the one thing that Mr. Poe did indicate, Officer Poe, senior officer, most distinguished officer, is the fact, and I've been there, not for the same reason, I've been there, and I think, and that I call it the headquarters down there where his office is, and that sign is there.
It's a big sign.
How about words? It's there. I remember seeing it, because I had to sit out there for a little while. You know, they just don't even let parole officers, I mean, not parole officers, members of this board just walk right in. We have to stand out there and wait until they let us in. And that was that sign, you know. And so if I had a weapon, I had to get rid of it. And I just don't know why. I guess my problem is, and maybe I'm a little too strict, but my problem is when one is given an opportunity, this board given an opportunity to be on home arrest, and it's always explained that, yes, this is strict, that you're still an inmate, but you're given this opportunity, and then you violate it. I still have problems with that, and that's just me as an individual, because I feel that if someone is given that opportunity, they would never, never violate it. You know, whether it was with the water, which I understand the water, and the medicine, I understand that you drink a whole lot of water when you're working, when you do that kind of work, even if there's no medicine involved, when you do that kind of work, yes, you drink water, but you can't drink as much water because you, at this point, you know it's going to be diluted, and it just didn't come through for us, and I just don't like to see this board in Paris. That's all I'm going to say. I'm still open, but that's the way I feel at this moment. Thank you so very much.
You are most welcome. Okay, any other comments from board members? I'm going to make a motion then, and my motion will be to, based on information in warrant 2019W0354, our conversation with Mr. McGee, information provided by Mr. Polk and Mr. Grady, and from the supporters who are present, I'm going to move to revoke community supervision as Mr. McGee was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by violating the conditions that when this board granted home arrest, that he not drink alcohol, and he drank alcohol. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, second to Mr. Quinones, agreed by Dr. Wagner, disagreed by Mr. Johnson. And I believe this is one of the cases, Dr. Wright, where we cannot just do a majority. Is that correct? But we have to agree. We have to come to an agreement.
No, because this is home arrest. This is not revocation.
Okay.
Revocation. location, yes, it would happen.
If it was a regular location, okay.
It is home arrest.
I just want to be, I just want to be clear then. Okay, so, so Mr. McGee, the board has voted with one disagree vote that the revocation will carry, sir, to revoke your community supervision. You'll be eligible at some point in the future to come back before the board and be considered for a reinstatement to be placed back on home arrest, sir. So, but until then, we urge you to, you know, continue comply with department regulations, don't incur any discipline, and we look forward to seeing you again at that time, sir. Do you have any questions? I'm not sure about that. How often? I couldn't even guess, sir. I'm sorry, but I know that we do hear, we routinely hear people again. I'm just not sure what the time interval is, sir.
The Department of Correction will make that determination, so you can check with your CO3. He will probably, or she would probably be in a better position to answer that than we are, but you will be coming back before this board before 2021.
Okay, Mr. McGee, so thank you very much for participating. Thank you to those in the room, and Mr. Poe, thank you. And your hearing is concluded, Mr. McGee. If you just lay the phone down and let the CO3 know you're finished. Just don't hang it up.